1, 2, 3.
You're listening to Sports Talk Chicago with your host, John Zagluhl.
John, I am fantastic. Thank you for having me. You got an awesome voice, man, and that was a terrific intro. You're like a pro's pro.
You know, that was the first time somebody ever said that, John. No, you're the first person to ever say anything like that. That's very interesting.
You got it, John. Anything for a fellow Chicago guy.
Well, what a great question.
That's a great question. Nobody's actually asked me that.
I like it. What a great question. I never heard that before.
Chase Utley is what? You're saying he's not a Hall of Fame candidate?
You know, it's funny. You may be the only person that I've heard make that connection.
Thank you, John, for having me. I'm doing great. By the way, you have an outstanding voice. Not sure about your face because I haven't met you, but your voice is great.
You're doing a much better job than I ever did. You've had some heavy hitters guests on too, man, so keep up the good work. But it's good to be with you, and I'm ready to talk sports.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into Sports Talk Chicago. My name's John Zagluhl. Great to have you here. Today's edition of the program will preview the Bears-Bengals this weekend and tell you who's going to win in just a moment. Plus, a brand new interview today with David Haw, the host of Mully and Haw, 670 The Score every morning. We talk with him more about the Bears' loss, what to expect for them, some baseball news, and more. It's a great interview, and it comes your way near the midway point of this show. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zagluhl. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SportsTalkChicago.com. Before we start today, I have to tell you about State Farm agent Brian McDevitt. A lot of our listeners have gone to him for all their insurance needs. He's been very helpful in getting them the coverage they deserve. There's no games with Brian. He's just here to help and make sure you feel safe. If you have insurance needs and you haven't called them yet, what are you waiting for? Dial up the number, 630-796-2662. That's 630-796-2662. Or find them online at brianismyagent.com. That's brianismyagent.com. And make sure to mention Sports Talk Chicago. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Want to start today with this. Sometimes you get things wrong. My preseason prediction show, before we got to Beepot TV, I said on YouTube the Bears would win Week 2 versus Cincinnati. And I said overall they'd go 6-11 on the season. That might be correct. But I genuinely thought they'd easily beat Cincinnati. I mean, come on. The Bengals. Laughing stock of the NFL. They lost their quarterback last year because they had no offensive line. Some said it was the worst offensive line in football history. Their starting quarterback, Joe Burrow, who won the Heisman, tore his ACL. Got sacked, out for the year, had to make a comeback this year. I was very wary about Joe Burrow in general. I didn't know how good he'd be coming back. We see a lot of quarterbacks, or different ones, have issues over the years. I mean, look at RG3, Robert Griffin. Tore his ACL, his LCL, PCL, and was never really the same. His career ended after Washington essentially threw him to the curb. Nobody helped him. They rushed him back, and his knee was never the same. Now, the Bears are going to be home this weekend as they face Cincinnati, but I have my doubts about this game based on last weekend's performance. Now, if you didn't see my reaction to the game, I suggest you go back and watch on YouTube or on the Beepod TV page. I was appalled with the performance. All around, there was really nothing good about that game besides maybe David Montgomery, but even then there was a problem. They didn't run him enough. Can't be given a starting running back in the NFL 15 carries. Now, it's so funny, too. I was looking up these stats the other day, playing around on Pro Football Reference. Back in 2005, 2006, you had running backs carrying the ball 400 times in some cases. In a season, Larry Johnson, former Chiefs running back, led the league in rushing yards and in carries. 412 carries. Now today, you're lucky if you get 15. What a joke. And that's Matt Nagy's philosophy. The Bears' hallmark is run the football and defense. Matt Nagy's all about never running, bad defense, and five-yard pass plays with your quarterback. Not going to win you football games. Not going to help you drive downfield, put up points. As I mentioned the other day, Mark Trestman's offense is better run than Matt Nagy's. More points have been put on the board under Mark Trestman than Matt Nagy. Mark Trestman was driven out after 2 years. Nagy, still here. Nevertheless, I don't see the Bears winning this game. As you didn't know, Cincinnati won week one in overtime against Minnesota. Yeah, that's right, the Vikings with Dalvin Cook, Kirk Cousins, Adam Thielen. They won. Joe Burrow came to play. Burrow started off cold, but quickly heated up, 20 of 27. 261 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. And they won with seconds to go in overtime. Joe Mixon, the running back, 127 yards on 29 carries. I don't think Zach Taylor's a great head coach. Granted, he doesn't have many of the weapons, but still, even he knows what it means and knows the significance of running the football. Ja'Marr Chase, the rookie wide receiver, at 101 receiving yards. Even defensively, Jermaine Pratt and Jesse Bates both recorded 9 tackles. They look great. To their credit, they actually look like a competitive football team, which is pretty surprising because last year and even 2 years ago, they were the worst team in football, the Bengals. Worst team in football. Now they turn around and they don't look that bad. I really thought this would be an easy win for the Bears, but it turns out it won't be. I don't think they're going to win. Look, the Vikings are way better than the Bears, plain and simple. They have Kirk Cousins, more of an established quarterback than Andy Dalton, even if you don't like him, you have to admit that. Great running back, one of the best in football, Dalvin Cook, when he's healthy, and he is. And Thielen, who's a great wide receiver, and Jefferson, too, coming off a great rookie year. They have enough offensive weapons, and their defense has gotten a bit better. It's not what it was 2 or 3 years ago, but look who I'm talking to. The Bears' defense looked like crap the other night. And they are certainly not their 2018 selves. Just be prepared for more heartbreak. I'd love to sit here and say this Bears team could turn it around, but if you look at their schedule over the next couple of weeks, I'd be cringing if I were you. Bengals, Browns, Lions, that'll be a win. Raiders, Packers, Buccaneers. Oh, by the way, the Lions played competitively. They lost by 8 to San Francisco. San Francisco's supposed to be good. Browns barely lost to Kansas City. Raiders won. Packers lost, and the Buccaneers won. I'm telling you, this is not going to be the year that everybody thought it would be. And even if Justin Fields plays, I don't think it's going to make a difference. That's not a controversial opinion. If Justin Fields plays, it may not make much of a difference. John, how could you say that? He's a great quarterback. If he's throwing 5-yard passes all day, won't make a difference. How consequential would that be? Oh, instead of Andy Dalton out there, it's Justin Fields throwing 5-yard passes. At the end of the day, we all know who controls the offense. It doesn't matter if Fields is out there. And here's the worst part. If Matt Nagy changes to cater more to Fields, that's actually a downside. Why didn't he cater to Andy Dalton? So if Justin Fields succeeds in this offense and not Andy Dalton, what does that mean? What does it mean if Justin Fields throws the ball 5 yards and their receivers run an extra 10 versus Andy Dalton getting killed out there? Yes, you could argue that Justin Fields executes the offense better. Andy Dalton didn't do bad. Just means that Matt Nagy prefers Justin Fields. I'm not saying you're not allowed to have favorites, but come on. Aren't you worried about the team's performance first? He did the same thing to Mitch Trubisky. He did. Run him out of town, sabotage, gone. What, now he's doing the same to Andy Dalton? Are we going to catch on yet? We going to see this? Andy Dalton completed 71% of his passes through for 200 yards. had the pick. And that was it. No touchdowns. I believe it would have been a touchdown if they didn't have Justin Fields run it in instead of him. He drove downfield. So his passer rating was 73. And that looks horrible. But Andy Dalton completed his passes. I don't think Andy Dalton preferred to throw the ball 5 yards every time. No. Here's the real troubling thing, though. You look at Dalton's yards per attempt, 5.4. So on average, every pass resulted in a 5-yard gain. To me, that is not the way you should be playing in the NFL. That's not Dalton's fault. That's Mendick. David Montgomery had a great game, but will he be used correctly? No. Hey, the Bengals get it. The Bengals were called dysfunctional. They were the worst team in football. They drafted Joe Burrow. They got him hurt with no O-line. Their coach came on radio the next day and said it's not the O-line's fault, even though it was the worst in the NFL. And you know what? They still know better. They still know the significance of running the football. I thought they were more dysfunctional than the Bears. Boy, was I wrong. I'm actually expecting a loss. I can't believe this. I'm actually expecting the Bears to go down. And that's really unfortunate, and it should tell you all you need to know about where this team is. Tell me I'm wrong. Should be apparent to you the problems they have. And these are major. I had Mike North on a couple of days ago. He said the same thing. There needs to be an overhaul. An overhaul for this team. And it starts at the top. And it could have been done last year, but they bought themselves some time with Justin Fields. And they pinned all the blame on Mitch Trubisky. Again, let me ask you. Do you blame Mitch today? I don't think so. Doesn't mean he's a superstar quarterback, but you know what? At his best, with a decent team around him, he could win your football games. He did! Winning record! Goodbye. So long. It's your fault, too. What are we doing here? It's a real shame the Bears fans bought into that. It's a real shame that they lost Mitch Trubisky, who ended up signing for $2 million. And you pay Andy Dalton $10 million. You're paying Nick Foles $10-plus million. Nick Foles wasn't even dressed on Sunday. That's just dead salary sitting there. And because of Nick Foles, you had to cut Kyle Fuller and Bryce Callahan, Desmond Trufant. It's a Ryan Pace issue, too. No doubt about it. The end of last season, when I went on YouTube, I did shows on the press conferences and where the team's going to go. Everybody said, fire Pace, fire Nick. They dropped Justin Fields. There were people writing public apology letters to Ryan Pace. Think about how ridiculous that is. Justin Fields didn't play a snap. The Bears' defense was in shambles. Oh, Ryan, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry I judged you too early. Really? That is judging too early. Apologizing to Ryan Pace, who, number one, won't see your letter, but number two, most importantly, didn't put together a contending team. Again, I've never seen somebody get more second chances than Pace and Nagy, both of them together. I've never seen that in my life. Last time I checked, it's a meritocracy. If you do good, you win. If you don't, you're out. Look how long it took the Bulls, and they finally understood it, to get rid of Gar Pax. Finally. Have Arturis Karnishibis, Mark Eversley. And look at what they've done to themselves. Vucevic, Levine, Lonzo Ball, DeMar DeRozan. Now, that's a basketball team. Same needs to happen here. It's the same thing over and over and over again. We see the same results every year, and yet everyone's complacent. Everyone still goes to Bears games, buys their merchandise, patronizes them. They're all happy. You know, we don't have to settle for mediocrity. Other cities don't. Other teams don't. We don't have to settle for constant three and outs or 15 carries for a Pro Bowl running back or a revolving door quarterback for an offensive scheme that blames the quarterback even though he did nothing wrong. For constant scapegoating. Dishonesty. No, we don't have to take that. We choose to. And when you look at this team today, it is unrecognizable from 2018, and it sure as hell is unrecognizable from past years. Can't even imagine what 85 Bears players think of this team today. And they watch this team, and they see these players, this coaching staff, the GM. I wonder what's on their minds. I wasn't alive to watch the 85 team, but I've been told by many a people it was the greatest football team they've ever seen. That's a franchise hallmark. That's something to be proud of if you're the Bears. Look at them today compared to 1985. Look at these guys. Really a shame. You know, this is a hallmark organization. Founding member, George Halas, football legend, Sid Luckman. I mean, there have been so many great players who put on a Bears uniform. And this team is just rooted in history. The NFL started because of the Bears, in part. Look at them today. Why is it that they act like the Browns? Browns are an expansion team, dysfunctional, not anymore. 25, 30 quarterbacks in 10 years. Constant first-round busts. Issues left and right, coaching staff, GM. Why are the Bears acting like that? Bears aren't an expansion team. Not like they have no money or they're brand new, don't know what to do. Been around for almost 100 years, more than 100 years. Why are they behaving like the Browns or the Jaguars? Does that make any sense to you? The Bengals, even. Why are they behaving like a new team? They're established. Love them or hate them, the Packers get it right. I'm not a Packer fan, but they've been around the same time. Look what they do. And the Bears are the Browns. Or really, Jacksonville, because the Browns are good now. Finally. I don't get it. It's beyond unfortunate. Not even for just the players and the organization, for you. For you watching at home. All of you who are Bears fans, who love this team, who bleed Bears football. You've been subjected to years of embarrassment. And guess what? It ain't ending soon. It is not ending soon. It's going to be a long, long season. I want to leave you with this. Please don't fixate on the quarterback. That's a distraction, okay? That's a distraction like last year. Mitch Trubisky was the scapegoat. He was the distraction. Now he's gone. They told you, oh, new quarterback will be fine. They said at the press conference, I remember talking about this. We need better play out of our quarterbacks, even though Mitch led him to the playoffs. How the hell does that make sense? Don't pay attention to the quarterback controversy. I'm warning you. That is not the issue here. No matter who the quarterback is, and we've seen it time and time and time again, it has nothing to do with the position. It has everything to do with who's calling the plays. I don't think Andy Dalton is calling 5-yard pass plays. Andy Dalton doesn't determine how many times David Montgomery runs the football. Quarterback controversy is a distraction. Pay attention to who's behind the curtain. That's how you'll know what's really going on. You look at face value. If you see this team and say, oh, it's the quarterback, and not look at the defense, not look at the coaching, GM, you're doing it wrong. Don't fixate on one position. Remember who calls the plays and who determines personnel. That's Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy. More to come here on Sports Talk Chicago. My interview with David Hawk comes up next, so stay tuned. Sports Talk Chicago. Here with John Zagluel, and we are back and ready for today's special guest. He's the host of Mully and Hawn, 670 The Score, and a contributor to NBC Sports Chicago. Please welcome David Hawn to the program. David, it's great to have you on. How are you?
Thanks for asking again, John. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for being here. Let's talk Bears to start. What do you make of Sunday's game?
Well, I think it was disappointing. I don't know that it was that surprising. I think the Bears have some limitations on the roster that were exposed, and we were reminded of just what kind of year this could be unless they address some of those immediately. I think everybody's waiting for Justin Fields, and certainly I understand that. But I think coming out of that game, the entire country was reminded, especially here in Chicago, that they have much deeper problems and much bigger needs than the quarterback position. And I think it starts with your defense and then extends to your offensive line. And then maybe you can talk about the quarterback making a difference. But until you fix those problems, I'm not sure you're going anywhere.
Should Eddie Jackson still be in the NFL?
That's a pretty harsh assessment, John. I understand why you'd ask. I know that, you know, Bears fans probably had that reaction. So look, I think a couple of things can be true. I think, yeah, he's an NFL safety. He's proven he can play here at this level and, frankly, at a high level. What's happened the last season and a half has made him somewhat of an enigma. And I think it's frustrating because he has fit into this stereotype, unfortunately, that we see often in sports where a player has success. He's a real, you know, long shot. He was a fourth round draft pick. He overcame the injury at Alabama. He blossoms on the scene for the Bears. He becomes a Pro Bowl player. He gets paid. Whether psychologically or whether consciously, something happens at that point. But it seems as if Eddie Jackson, metaphorically exhaled, right? He just sort of like, okay, I've arrived. I'm rich. And now, you know, whatever he did to get to that point, he has stopped doing. And that's frustrating from a fan standpoint, but I think that he certainly is salvageable, but the way that he played in the opener is unacceptable for given his pay and given his experience. So I understand the frustration, but yeah, I think he still could have a long NFL career if he could just look at this as maybe a fork in the road and take the right direction.
You know, Khalil Mack had no tackles in that game too, which I thought was pretty shocking. How do you explain his regression or his falling off, especially comparing 2018 to today?
Good question. I think a lot of times teams do pay more attention to Khalil Mack than anybody else in that defense. If you're the offensive coordinator for the Los Angeles Rams, you spent your entire preseason gearing a game plan to not let Mack beat you. This week, the Cincinnati Bengals have geared a game plan to not let Khalil Mack beat you. That's not an excuse. That's just the reality. And in that reality, you have to, he's not going to be maybe as impactful as he was when he came here. Now, that said, he's got to make the plays when they present themselves and make the sacks when the opportunities arise. There were a couple opportunities where you did wonder if he took full advantage of the one-on-one blocking or of the gap that he split through. So I think he maybe looked like a guy playing in his first game of the season. I don't want to give up on him as an impact guy yet, but I think that the point's well taken. For the Bears to be the kind of defense they have to be to carry this team where they want it to go, Khalil Mack has to be a bigger force.
Are the Bears even a top defense anymore, though?
I don't think so. I think they're probably middle of the road. I know Mike Lombardi told Mully and Haw on 670 The Score, told us on Wednesday that the Bears were the most overrated defense in the NFL. And it's an interesting label. You know, it's one that I started looking at the numbers and looking at the Colts and looking at the Packers and started to look for other examples. And it's a fair criticism right now because they have Pro Bowl performers at every level. Eddie Jackson, Roquan Smith, Akeem Hicks, and Khalil Mack. You have Robert Quinn, who's a very highly paid disappointment. So I don't know that the Bears deserve to be referred to as a potentially elite defense, which I spent most of last season referring to them as such. So I don't know that they've earned that this year. Certainly they're probably middle of the pack with higher potential, but no, I don't think that they are a top 10 defense any longer. Too many question marks at too many key positions.
How big of a problem could this be for them moving forward? We've seen in the past the defense prop them up in a sense when the offense couldn't perform. Now it seems like it's completely the opposite. I mean, what could this do to their season this year?
Well, it's not good. And I think that when you look at some of the factors in play, you need guys who have to this point disappointed you to come through. Robert Quinn needs to be a bigger factor. I think Eddie Goldman getting healthy will help them. You'd like to see Khalil Mack return to that form where he was a top five, top 10 player in the National Football League. And certainly Eddie Jackson and Tayshaun Gibson cannot run past players at the 12-yard line and let them go into the end zone untouched. Okay. Your cornerbacks have to be smarter. Your safeties have to be more aggressive. And your linebackers and front seven have to live up to their reputation. And if the results meet that reputation, then the Bears can be a pretty good team defensively. I'm still not sure if it's going to be able to compensate for some issues offensively, but they can do better. And I think that is the challenge in front of Sean Desai, who called his first game and probably won't want to remember that one.
David Haw here on Sports Talk Chicago. David, how would you evaluate Nagy's play calling from the game?
Spotty. Too often, I think it was intended to trick people rather than have a sequence of events to set things up. I'm not sure that there's a lot of rhyme or reason to it yet. I don't think that they were allowed to get in too much of a rhythm. They did possess the ball. They were able to run the football. If you want to come out with a bright spot, I do applaud, Matt Nagy and the Bears offensive line for committing to the running game and the line giving him a chance to do so. But I just feel like there was too many. It seems as if the Bears are so committed to calling certain plays at certain times that I'm not sure it makes a lot of sense to me. There's a lot of misdirection. There's a lot of activity, but very little accomplishment. And I do wonder about the wisdom sometimes of these play designs and where things are headed. So I think you'd like to see a little bit less pizzazz, a little bit less style, and a little bit more substance.
Did you enjoy the customary wide receiver screen?
I wish they would rip that page out of the playbook and never use it again. I think we've been seeing that since, I think you're probably too young to remember Joe Tiller at Purdue basketball on grass when he revitalized the bubble screen and then the NFL adopted it and now everybody runs it and the Bears have exhausted it. So let's put that away for a while.
Did the game itself prove, though, that this is more so a Nagy problem more than a quarterback problem? Where do you stand on that?
John, I've been consistent with this. I think the Bears have a very good situation at quarterback. I know that probably is not the popular opinion in Chicago, but I really like, if you're looking for talent in the room and experience and youth and that blend there, they've got a $10 million starter in Andy Dalton, who's soon to be a very expensive backup. They've got a generational talent in Justin Fields, who is going to be a superstar at some point in time. I really believe that. Until proven otherwise, I will stick to that. Justin Fields is special. So I don't think they have a quarterback problem. I think they have a coaching dilemma, a conundrum, if you will. It's the right time to ascend a future star. It's easier said than done. And I don't know that we, who are very quick from the outside to criticize Matt Nagy, always appreciate or respect the fact that they're around these guys every day. And even though there's earned skepticism around the head coach and play caller and Nagy, I do think that we have to leave out that, they may know things that we don't know. And we may not know what we don't know on the outside of Hallis Hall. So if they're committed to using Andy Dalton until they feel very comfortable that Justin Fields, number one, can recognize, diagnose, and execute everything at the line of scrimmage in and out of the huddle. And number two, frankly, if they can protect him, you don't want to put your most important player for the next decade in harm's way before you absolutely have to if you're down to your fourth choice at left tackle. So I think there's some factors that we tend to forget when we're screaming for the star to be anointed. I'm willing to be a little bit more patient because I think this season is more about the development and the intelligent progression of Justin Fields than it is about the Bears winning football games.
That's an outstanding statement because I'd rather the team go 6-11 per se, right? And know that Justin Fields will be ready for next year than have Andy Dalton start or put in Fields too early and have there be an issue.
I would agree with that, John, but I also think that, you know, if there's even any sliver of hope that you believe that Andy Dalton can make you 11-6, not saying they're going to, but I think that you have to respect that too, because, you know, the object of the exercise is to win. And the National Football League, winning seasons are to be cherished and savored and, you know, not to be squandered if you have that chance. So not that I'm predicting this, but theoretically, for the sake of argument, if you still think that Andy Dalton, and maybe the Bears still do, can lead you down this path and you can compete for a wild card or a playoff spot in the weakest division in the NFL, then you're going to ride this out as long and far as you can.
How'd you evaluate his performance?
I think it's incomplete. You know, he is what he is, and I don't think he tries to be anything more than that. I think he was limited by the limited ambition of the offensive game plan. I don't think that they gave him a chance to throw the ball down the field, so I'm not sure that we can say that he can't. I'm not sure that we can be sure that he can. Look, he handed off, and he got rid of the ball quicker than any quarterback in the NFL in week one. So he did what he was asked to do, but he didn't threaten anybody. The Rams never felt like they were in danger of giving up much to the Bears. So Andy Dalton was basically, as I wrote on 670thescore.com, as adequate as advertised.
Did the Justin Fields package make any sense to you?
Well, it made sense to have a package for Justin Fields and to use him sporadically and in spurts. And I think if you're going to introduce him to the NFL speed of the game, that's a good way to do it, is to come up with packages. What didn't make any sense to me was that, you know, we talk all the time about rhythm and continuity, and certainly offensive play callers do that as well. But Justin Fields took 5 snaps, but none of them were consecutive snaps. That's a problem. I think you want to give, number one, not only Justin Fields, but the 10 guys in the huddle a chance to adjust and adapt to his sequence, the way he calls plays, his cadence at the line of scrimmage, which may explain some of the problems when they were alternating back and forth. So I didn't understand maybe the frequency with which he was used, but I did understand wanting to use him in the way that, you know, kind of changes. It's like it's a change of pace running back, a change of pace quarterback. This isn't baseball. You're not looking for a closer and a starter, but you're looking for someone to come in there and give you a spark.
Do you see this continuing with Fields until they commit to putting him in full time?
I think they'd be foolish not to. You know, you're an offense that has limited ability to stretch the field, and you're not going to have many game breakers, and you do still have to worry about scoring points. Your most explosive player may be number one, so you have to find a way to use him just like you would if, you know, going back a ways, if Devin Hester were, you know, used as a slot receiver or a wide receiver running deep, or Tariq Cohen when he was a rookie in certain packages. Justin Fields is a weapon. So find creative ways. I'm not going to compare him to Taysom Hill. I think that's an insult to Justin Fields, the quarterback. But Sean Payton did find ways to utilize the skill set that Taysom Hill had to offer. And I think that Matt Nagy and Bill Lazor can find ways to use Justin Fields' explosiveness to their advantage.
When do you see him coming in permanently?
I'd be surprised if they get into beyond the fifth game of the season. I think it's going to be sooner rather than later. I don't think it should go much longer than that, especially if the Bears have fallen out of contention, which, given their schedule, could be a reality. It's a very strong possibility. So I think that you want to shore things up on your offensive line. You want to really get the running game in place so you do have something that you can lean on. And then you use Justin Fields in ways that don't ask him to do too much, and you don't ask him to be the savior. And when you get to that point, I think you're ready to hand over the keys to the car.
Why didn't they run as much? You mentioned the run game. I thought they should have run the ball more. David Montgomery had a great game.
Fair enough. And I think that he did through three quarters. He had about 15 touches, John. But you know, I think NFL 101, when you start to become in the trail position and you're going into the fourth quarter, you're down double digits, pretty much a throwing league. You got to throw the ball. Now, the problem the Bears had was that when they threw the ball, they weren't trying to go downfield because they couldn't protect the quarterback long enough to do so. So I didn't have a big problem with you know, I think the question was, did Nagy abandon the running game? Or I don't think he did at all. I think the fact that they were able to establish it showed the Bears that they could do that. And that's good to know moving forward. But I think once you fall behind 10 points, 14 points, then you've got to make a commitment to the passing game. And I'm just not sure they were able to execute in the passing game.
You know, you brought up a great point there. Dalton didn't have time to throw the ball downfield. So who's to say when Justin Fields comes in, he'll have time either? And I think people may not be seeing that.
I don't either. I think the only problem you have with Dalton is that when he doesn't have time, if you call those plays, he's probably going to get sacked.
Right.
Now, with Justin Fields, if you call those plays and he doesn't have time, he's probably going to escape. And he's probably going to use his legs as a weapon. And maybe if they're playing man coverage, it's dangerous so he can run. But do you really want him to be running? You don't want to turn him into Lamar Jackson yet. You don't want him to be a guy. That was always a thing with Mitch. Mitch was a very good runner, but it wasn't something they wanted to make a living off of. And certainly Justin Fields isn't that much different in that way. That may be the only thing they have in common. No young quarterback, even Lamar Jackson, when he came into the league, you did not want to get him to the point where he was running all the time after protection broke down, because you want to see him develop as a passer in the pocket. That's where you make your money. That's where you win your titles. And then what makes a quarterback who can pass in the pocket so dangerous is what happens when it breaks down and they're able to run and use their athleticism. That's what you want Justin Fields to become by design and as he matures.
What do you think his ceiling is in the NFL?
Oh, I think he's a Pro Bowl quarterback, MVP candidate possibly. I think he's one of these guys that in time, once he establishes himself, nothing is going to happen to Justin Fields that is going to phase him. There's no element of the NFL game that is going to be too fast for him. Justin Fields is going to be limited only by who coaches him potentially. And that can't be the case. As far as his skill set, he's got a live arm. He's maybe the best running back the Bears have, and he's explosive. So I don't think that they're, you know, when you talk about a ceiling, I don't think you're talking in terms of ceilings with Justin Fields. It's boundless. And I think that you have to keep your mind open to, could he be a bust, a disappointment? Look, every quarterback drafted in the first round could be that guy. But I think on the right team, with the right coach playing complimentary football, he is a superstar in the making.
So how far do the Bears go this year then? I know we talked about when Fields could come in. We don't know. But based on what you've seen after game one, where do you see him going?
I have a hard time seeing him win more than 7 games, John. I wish I were. I hope I'm wrong. And I just don't see, you know, you can't neglect some of the most important positions on your roster and expect to win more than you lose. And what the Bears have done is, if you're building a football team, you care about your quarterback, you care about your left tackle, you care about your cornerback, shutdown cornerback, and you care about your number one wide receiver. I don't know if that's the order, but it's fair enough order. And the Bears have addressed 2 of those 4 positions adequately. I think they have a number one wide receiver in Allen Robinson. They have an explosive quarterback and franchise guy in Justin Fields. We're not going to see him in time because of the way that they have neglected the left tackle and cornerback position. So I think that this is a 7-10 team.
Does that prompt changes at the end of the year, do you think?
Everything's about context. So I think you got to wait and see how they get to the point where they have gotten. I still think it's probably premature to suggest that Matt Nagy is going to be on the hot seat. But I have been a constant and I think fair critic of Ryan Pace and the way that he has put this roster together and the salary cap problems that he has created. So I think that you can separate those two perhaps, but everything is about context. And, you know, for me to say 7-10, it depends on how they get to 7-10. How do they lose the games that they lose? So I think sitting here in mid-September, it's understandable. We want to speculate and that's what we do. But I do think it's difficult to understand what we may be looking at in terms of context by the end of the season to predict who goes and who stays.
More to come with David Haw in just a moment. Stay tuned. This is Sports Talk Chicago. David Hawk, still here on Sports Talk Chicago. David, a few more questions before we finish up. First off, tell me about your profile piece in Barrett Sports Media.
Oh, that was a very nice story done. I it was kind of a surprise, and you know, asked me some questions about changing the radio and, you know, my past as a sports writer and how, you know, I still look, I'm a newspaper guy on the radio. I don't work for a newspaper any longer. But it was a great training ground, and I love what I'm doing now. Even getting up as early as it requires sometimes. I just look tired. Hopefully I don't sound tired, but it's a great environment at the Score, and I love working with Molly. So it was nice to talk to somebody who wanted to, you know, write about the business and some of the things going on.
How tough was the adjustment to you for morning radio to be a sports columnist, usually go to games at night and then write columns versus now you're waking up at what, 2-3 in the morning for a show?
Yeah. It's an adjustment, John. I'm not going to say I've mastered it at all. I think that you become accustomed to a certain way of life. And, you know, I was a newspaper guy for a lot of years and been doing the morning show for over 3. And you get used to the lifestyle and the time change. I do miss certain things about, you know, going to games and writing stories that, you know, give me your best 1,000 words. I still write on occasion. I don't have any problem with that. You know, what I do miss as much as anything is that I was fortunate at the Tribune to go into cities in the community and Chicago and find real good human interest stories and people whose stories were untold. And, you know, those were the things that you take a lot of pride in, and the names that you don't recognize, the names that aren't Justin Fields and, you know, Zach LaVine and, you know, and Lucas Giolito or Chris Bryant, you know, those are the names and the headlines. But what I do miss about newspapers is that, and column writing and just what I did was finding the anonymous people and giving them their 1,000 words or giving them their 15 minutes or whatever, because those are the stories that I think are fun to read for me. And those were the stories that I had the most satisfaction in writing.
What's one of your favorite ones that you've written?
Oh gosh, you know, I think that there's so many over the years, but the one that comes to mind when I talk about the human interest story, there was a man who ran the Chicago Marathon, and I want to get this right. He lost his daughter, and she had her heart was transplanted into somebody down in Texas. And wow. She ended up running a marathon, and they ran the marathon together.
Wow.
So it was the heart transplant recipient was running with the father of the young woman who died tragically, and her heart was in the other runner's body, and it was just powerful. And the kinds of thing that, you know, it's very difficult and 45 seconds to describe, and frankly, 2,000 words to capture, but it was something that I'll never forget, you know, sitting across from this man and having him tell me his story. And it's just so, you know, those are the kinds of things that it's hard to, you know, it's hard to duplicate. You know, I love radio. I love getting up and, you know, this is what we're going to do, the 5 at 5. And we're going to give our thoughts on everything from the Bears to the Bulls to the Sox and Cubs and maybe a little hockey in there, maybe just a little bit. But writing is more of an extension of what I've always loved to do. And hopefully I'll still be able to do that moving forward.
David, before we finish up today, last question, is Ball State legit this year?
I love Ball State. Mike New is a friend of mine, former teammate. He's got the program headed in the right direction. They had a tough afternoon at State College. That's a tough place to play for a Mid-American Conference school. Come on, John, you're rubbing it in. You're forcing me to relive a long Saturday. But they could be legit. They could be. They've got Toledo coming up. They want to defend their MAC title. I think they can. I don't know much about the rest of the teams in the MAC. The MAC every year is very, very competitive. But I like my Cardinals chirp.
Well, David, thank you so much for joining me. Always a pleasure. Best wishes on Mully and Hawn. Can't wait till we catch up again soon. Thank you so much.
Anytime, John. Thank you.
Great talk there with David Hawn. That'll do it for us today here on Sports Talk Chicago. Big thank you to David Hawn himself, Matt Dubiel, WCKG, Jim DeTalbin, Tomorrow Entertainment for making this show a success. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zagluo. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SportsTalkChicago.com. Another great show comes your way tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening. Till then, stay safe. And so long, everyone.
No! No!
Mirror the Eternal!